The words of our text this morning are taken from Psalm 86, verse 11, in which David prays, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name." And we pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. It's amazing how the calendar year keeps marching along. Here we are basically at the brink of having just 1 week left in our academic semester. And that means that final exams soon follow. By now, you are probably, as students, preparing for semester projects or even have turned them in. Maybe capstone projects are due, but certainly preparing for those final exams. In those projects and tests, you have the opportunity to demonstrate mastery of course content. You have the opportunity to use all of your analytical, critical thinking and creative skills so that you may do well. You also need to demonstrate the ability to work independently and to be resilient. In short, you need to put in the time to be successful. So I've been a student for a lot of years, earning multiple degrees. So I can appreciate, students, what you might be going through. I can also tell you that I didn't always take the advice I just shared with you about putting in the time it takes to be completely successful. You see, truth be told, when I was a senior completing my undergraduate coursework, I recall having to write a semester project, a capstone project, you would call it, to complete my history minor. So we were taking a seminar course in history, and it was fascinating. I was learning how to do original research, how to form a thesis question, how to read original documents. Some of you old people might remember these things called microfiches, where you had these little tiny documents on little tiny readers. So I got an opportunity to do all that, and it was fascinating. The problem was the professor was really demanding. In our papers, he demanded that we be very narrow or concise in our research question. Good point. And that we have to be concise in our writing. So much so, true story. He said, "I stopped reading papers at the bottom of page 12. Well, not having quite put in enough time, I was just fascinated by my research question. So I had a hard time being narrow on the question, and I was so getting into reading all these documents, I had a hard time choosing which ones to include and which ones not to include. I was accumulating lots of information, but quite frankly, I wasn't having enough time then to write, to edit, to be concise. My attention was divided." The other big challenge was that the professor said, "I absolutely do not accept late papers." So keep in mind, this was a capstone project. No paper, no course grade. No course grade, no graduation. So let's just say I set a personal record for the number of all-nighters I pulled in that week prior to the paper's due date to get her done on time. So while I did hand the paper in on time, I didn't meet the criteria about being concise. I think my paper was 20 pages. But in my mind, it was a masterpiece. So when I got the paper back and his writing all over it, sure enough, he stopped reading at the bottom of page 12. Unfortunately, the answer to my thesis question came a whole lot pages later. I think out of kindness and maybe mercy, he actually gave me a B. I didn't even deserve that. I was pretty bummed. Up to that point in my life, that was the hardest time, or hardest thing I think academically I had ever worked on in my life. But I did learn a lot of important lessons. Start early, follow the criteria, and keep your focus. Dear fellow redeemed, in the course called life, in our what we sometimes call our times of God's grace, we have a way more significant final exam that all of us are in. What God tells us in his word is that this task is impossible to fulfill. It's more daunting than what a doctoral professor told me once in a stats class at the U of M. A professor once said to me, "Sometime me flunk whole class." That was overwhelming. Obviously, way more challenging than what my history professor put in front of us. But while the task is impossible, God tells us in his word, it's our easiest A ever. What makes life task so challenging is the demanding criteria. In the course called life, God's word tells us in the Old Testament, the criteria is very clear. Be holy, perfect, without sin, as I, your heavenly Father, am perfect. There you have it. Be holy. Not just sometimes, always. There's no extra credit for good intentions. It's not a group project either, where you can lean on other people's, well, none of us are perfect. We're talking about you. This is personal. It's not about the person to the right of you or to the left of you. We're talking about your thoughts, your words, your actions, always. Now, if you're not sure where you stand on God's criteria, in Genesis, God tells us clearly, every inclination of man's heart is evil since childhood, birth, conception. And then in Romans, Paul reminds us that due to our sinful natures, all have sinned, all. And then announces the grade. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and that the wages of sin is death. On our own, in the course called life, our ability to succeed is hopeless. We might as well pack it in. We might as well punt the course and just have a good time, because there's no chance that we will meet the criteria. Paul agrees. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes, on your own, your faith is futile. He says, because of our futility, we're still in our sins. And then verses later, he says that without hope, we are a people to be pitied. But thanks be to God. You and I know that's not how the story ends. Last Sunday, we celebrated the most significant event in human history, Easter. The event that separates Christianity from every other religion in the world. Because of what Jesus did for us on Good Friday, and by his resurrection from the dead on Easter morning, we have sure and certain hopes for our futures. Paul goes on to write in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. He says, take it from me, I am an eyewitness to seeing Jesus alive. And he concludes by noting, for since death came through a man, referring to Adam, the first human, The resurrection of the dead also comes through a man, Jesus. I love how the psalmist says it in Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far your transgressions have been removed from us. What a beautiful metaphor, describing the vastness and the completeness of God's forgiveness of our sins because of what Jesus has done for us. In the course called life, there will be many times when we will have our attentions diverted. The devil will use these at all times. He will try to keep us from believing in the fact that we will have the easiest A ever because of what Jesus has done for us. But these diversions that will be thrown our way, even the well-intentioned ones, will not bring lasting peace, will not provide us assurance that our eternal futures are secure, will not satisfy our angst that we feel in our stomachs each and every day as we move one day closer to facing death in the grave. Only Jesus provides that sure and lasting hope. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may our response be to believe and not doubt. May our response be to pray the prayer of David. Teach me, Lord, your ways. Guide me. Instruct me that I may believe your promises. Give me an undivided heart. Keep me focused. Keep me away from any distractions. Keep me from divided loyalties so that we may revere your name and may live in sure and certain hope that one day, the last day, we will be with him eternally in glory in heaven. Amen.